We're in a season of great outpouring of the Spirit. The day spring from on high is visiting us through the tender mercies of our God. Draw near with an open heart to receive the blessings of our God. Be revived.
I do a build up work. It's a build up work. It's a work I've begun doing. And I will not refrain until I'm true with the work. It's a build up work. It's one work I'm doing. Raising a people even for myself. Raising a people like me. That's the work I'm doing in your time and in your days. Raising a people that will be a way even to many. Raising a people that will show me to many. Raising a people that will demonstrate my life even in darkness. That is what I am doing. Even in your time and in your days, that is what I am doing. Oh, that is what I am doing. It's not a scattered meeting. The meetings are not different. I'm doing one work. And you are that building I'm raising. Again, I will put another block on you. I will bring another precept and lines over you.
It's a work of building. I'm building a habitation for myself.
I'm building a people. See, the Lord, my eyes is upon your generation. My eyes with a high expectation. That's why I pour out my grace.
I bring high level of understanding and too much grace upon you.
My eyes is upon you, expecting fruit, expecting response
even to grace.
See, the Lord, even this morning, I put my hand upon my handmaiden to continue that work,
to continue that building, to continue that laying upon,
see, the Lord, I put my words in your mouth to continue that work. I put my words in your mouth, and my grace and my hand is upon you. Oh, speak forth. Speak words, my words, that I will use to continue the work I am doing in the midst of the saint. See ya, the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We receive those words with thanksgiving. So you're all welcome to church, to the meeting of the church again this morning. Amen. So this morning I'm just going to be talking about just like that prophecy said, it's going to be like, it's not going to be something disjointed from the things that we've heard in the past. It's just going to be more of emphasis on the things that the Lord is speaking to us in this season. Can we all can we appreciate Pastor Onesimus for the Bible study this morning? Thank you so much for bringing those practical ways of keeping God's presence even at work. And for us, I think the most important thing is, you know, sometimes those words don't come like big revelation. They come very simple. And I think the most important thing is for us to take those words, you know, and see how we can apply, you know, apply those things. For me, I noted some things that when it comes to the issue of work that I would have to take note. And then Pastor also coming to, you know, reinforce some things and then bring another perspective to the issue of doctrine as a major basis of what? Of fellowship, so that we cannot really come into communion without what? Doctrine. You know, and I'll be talking more in that light about the how important doctrine is in our journey. And we can't really go far if we don't come into certain things that the Lord speaks to us. You know, just like he said, you can't even call, you know, he showed us that that connection in Romans when he was talking about you need the sent one to preach, and then you need preaching to believe, and then you need believing to be able to call upon the Lord, and then to say that the Lord is actually near. So it actually starts from being sent with a doctrine. And you know, I've never connected it with that last part of having been sent with the word, you know. And there are two doctrines there, you know, like we've always known, the gospel of peace and glad tidings of good things. So someone needs to be sent to preach that one, and it is hearing those kind of words that now produces that kind of faith in our hearts to believe, and then it eventually brings us into a kind of communion with the Lord. And you know, also when he was talking about Acts chapter 10, the fact that the doctrine and fellowship, and you know, that was really profound. You know, most I just think it is separate. But you see, if you look at it, really, it says the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. So that's one unit. And in the breaking of bread. So that's another thing there. And in prayer. So if they were separate, they would have been apostles' doctrine, comma, and fellowship, comma, and in break. No. But you see that those two, the doctrine and fellowship, actually does what? Goes together. And you know, it's very profound to know that without doctrine, without doctrine, there's a limit to fellowship. You know, like you said, at best, maybe something emotional or illusional. But doctrine is what, you know, and that was why in 1 John, John was saying that I write these things to you so that you can come into what? Fellowship. So we cannot come into fellowship with the Father and the Son, come into fellowship with eternal life. We can't, there's no way we can have access into those kind of fellowship without doctrine, without the word of God. You know, he said the word is nigh in your mouth, and that word is the word of God. And the words are in level. Say the words are in level. Those words, and we'll be seeing that this morning. I'll just be emphasizing some of those things this morning. But one thing I want us to first of all know is that our walk with the Lord, our Christian, well, let me use that word because very funny. Our Christian journey is a life of pilgrim. As what I mean is that it is a journey. The Christian walk is not a monument. It is actually a movement. Say a movement. A movement saying that we move from one point to the other. We journey in truth. You know, we journey to different places in God. You know, and if you look at the Old Testament, which is a shadow of the church, you know, of the New Testament church, you will see how the Lord brought them out of Egypt, and he led them through a journey until they actually got to the promised land. The promised land was supposed to be their destination. But you know, you can see the whole journey, how the Lord led, you know, that great company until they entered the promised land. And we know for the New Testament, you know that our home promised land is eternal life. Yeah, that is what we are coming to inherit. And so also, you know, the Old Testament is just a shadow, you know, of the new. So we can see how the children of Israel journeyed from places to places until they got to their promised land. That the same thing also in the spirit. When it comes to our journey, there are different landmarks in the spirit that we have to journey into. There are different levels of understanding that we would have. So see understanding as a journey. That there are different points in the spirit we would come into, different landmarks, until we come into eternal life. And eternal life is not something extra. Eternal life is a person. Say it's a person. So we are coming to inherit them. And you know, we are coming to, when you inherit them, you inherit that life in them. And you see in John 7, he said, and this is eternal life. So eternal life is not just something abstract. Eternal life is coming to say that they may know you, the only true God. That is a landmark. And Jesus Christ, whom what you have sent. So these are two major landmarks described. So these are two major curriculum. You can also call it two major doctrines, you know, that summarizes what eternal life is. And this is the promise that he has promised. There is no other promise. There is no other promise. There are many promises, but this is, when you talk about the promise, a specific thing. You know, just like when the Lord promised Abraham he was going to bring him into the promise, there was a land. There was a specific land that he promised him. And they journeyed and journeyed and journeyed. They got to several places, you know, even physically. But that was not the promised land. But, you know, that journey culminated in getting into the promised land. The same thing also. There are different landmarks in the spirit that the church of God is going to journey through, which I said it's in terms of understanding. But there is the promise. Some people say there is the promise. And that promise is what? Eternal life. And that eternal life is not something abstract. It is a person. It is coming to inherit God. You know, just like, I know God even gave us a shadow of what the true promise is. You know, for every other tribes, you know, in the Old Testament, lands were what they inherited. But you know, there was a particular tribe, you know, the Levites. God said that you are not going to have any land. I am your what? Inheritance. So God is an, say God is an inheritance. So coming to have eternal life is the promise of the Lord for, that is our inheritance. Coming to inherit him, he is our inheritance. Amen. And so for every, so just imagine, I just want to look back into the whole testament and see the children of Israel joining, you know, what they had in mind. The promise was to get to Canaan, which was supposed to be the promised land. And you will see them joining, you know, from different places, went through the wilderness, you know, different spots, different challenges. But ultimately, what the Lord was leading them into was what? The promised land. Same thing also. And so for them to get into that promised land, if they stay in one position, they would never get into that promised land. If they get halfway, maybe they get tired along the way. But you know, many of them came out of Egypt, but not all of them entered what the promised land. You know, that was just the irony of the whole thing. God gave resources. You know, God actually wanted all of them to come into the promised land. But eventually it was just only a very few that entered into, out of that generation that came out of Egypt. Only a few, you know, entered into the promised land. So one of the things I'm really believing God, as I was preparing for this meeting, was that I was asking the Lord that the Lord will give us a heart of journey. You know, a heart to journey. You know, a heart to journey. It is a blessing when you have that heart that wants to follow the Lord all the way to the promised land. Imagine even some of those children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, imagine some of them even wanted to go back to Egypt. You know, when they got to the very brink of getting into the promised land, some of them saw, they had a foretaste, and then they saw the challenges that were attached to it, and many of them were like, you know, they could not believe God to enter into the land. Rather, they focused more on the challenge and they couldn't enter into the promised land. So we need, as I was saying, God, the Lord will give us a heart to journey with him all the way until we lay hold on what? The promise. So it is a very important thing, because you know, many times we read about the children of Israel and we blame them, that with many of them, God was not pleased, they could not enter into rest. But you know, the same thing also, you can be a believer, and your days on earth are supposed to be used to journey until you lay hold on the night. And you could actually journey and not reach the final destination, as in reach the point, that particular zenith in God that the Lord wants you to need. But that will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. So we need the heart of journey. We need a heart of journey. I want us to look at Psalm 84, verse 5 to 7. We're talking about, said, blessed are those, talking about people, you know, when you have that art to join. He said, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on a pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. Next verse. So you see them. So these people that are set on a journey, whose heart, so God is calling it a blessing. So when you have a heart that is mobile, mobile in the spirit, wanting to follow the Lord all the way unto the very end, that is a blessing. So many people are not ready to follow the Lord all the way. They see the price, they see what it takes, and they're just like, let me settle for this level. Do you know that when the children of Israel eventually crossed into the promised land, do you know that there were some of them that did not cross? They were living just at the border of the promised land. There were some tribes that, if you read it in Judges, you see that they actually lived just at the border of the promised land. Have you ever talked about why didn't they cross into the promised land? What made them settle at the border of the promised land? What made them settle at the border of the promised land? So say, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on the pilgrim. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. So there's something about their thirst, about their hunger, that makes light of current situations and turns current situations into a blessing, turns it into an avenue to harvest God. So they go from strength to strength. So you can see them making progression. So these people, they go from strength to strength. Each one. So they go from strength to strength until they appear before God. So they keep moving from strength to strength. Tell your neighbor, say, from strength to strength. So each one appears before God in Zion. So they keep moving and moving and moving until they come to a place where they appear before their God. Amen. Amen. So our hearts, the Lord must really work on our hearts. You know, and that's one of the things that the doctrine does. The painting of the hope of our calling, what it does is one of the things that gives us strength to journey. You can't just decide in your heart that, I want to journey with the Lord. The hope of His calling needs to be painted. The more it is painted, the more you come into that understanding, the more the destination is clear, and the more you have the strength to actually do what? Journey. Say journey. So the destination needs to be clear. So yes, very good. I want us to even read this scripture. Said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The more you come to know Him, one of the things that happens is that the eyes of your understanding is what? Enlightened. And how does it manifest? So that you might know what is the hope of His calling. So that hope, you know, is calling. He is calling you somewhere. He is calling you to Himself. But you see, the day you got born again, you don't even know, you don't have the full picture. So as you journey with the Lord, as you come to know Him the more, and you know, that knowledge is not going to come just abstractly. As the word is being spoken, is being preached, the doctrine is coming. One of the things it does is that your destination becomes clearer to you. Amen. What did I say? Your destination becomes clear. You know, at some point, you know, when I first got born again, one of the destinations was that it was not even hell. It was not even heaven. It was more of escaping hell. You understand? It was more of, and that was good at a level. Then, of course, at the point, I don't want to go to hellfire. I want to escape hell. I want to go to heaven, you know. And that was the destination. And, you know, that helped a bit until as understanding started coming, then the destination actually became clearer. As those understanding was coming, there was now strength to lay off certain things and then journey with the Lord. So if the destination is not clear, the process is, if you get the destination wrong, the process is definitely going to be wrong. So that's why we need understanding for our destination to be clearly painted to us. He was talking about Jesus said for the joy that was set before him. So there was something that was clear before him. And because of that picture that was painted to him, he had enough strength, you know, to go through that entire process. If not for the picture of the destination that was clear, it would have been difficult to harness that energy to do what? To go through that process. You will see Paul also saying, despite a lot of things that went, he said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. There was something he saw, and that thing was what gave him what? The strength to journey, irrespective of the contradiction about him. Amen. So we must keep journeying. Tell neighbor, say, we must keep journeying. We must keep moving. We must keep moving. We must keep moving until we get to our destination. And we must keep praying that the picture of our destination, which is God himself, becomes clearer to us every day. That is the strength of our journey. The clearer it is, the more we have strength to journey. The picture must be clear. Where we are going, the destination, God's inheritance, all of these things, every day as we come, as you know, as we hear doctrine, those things become more vivid. They become more real. And then we have the strength to actually journey. Say journey. So one of the things I'm really believing God for every one of us, is that grace to journey with the Lord, to journey all the way. So walking in this path of righteousness is not a 10-year thing. It's not a 20-year thing. It is a life course. Say a life course. It is a life course. And so the Lord must really strengthen our hearts to want to join. And you see, we must always agree that we don't have the full picture yet. What did I say? We don't have the full picture yet. Yeah, God keeps unveiling himself, making the picture clearer, making things clearer to us so that we can journey. And you know, I'm believing God that in this season, the Lord will give us more grace to journey with him. Amen. So let's look at Matthew 19. Look at the story of the rich ruler, Matthew 19, verse 16 to 22. You know, we'll be talking about where we are going is eternal life, is to inherit eternal life. So now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have what? Eternal life. Is that not a good thing? That was a good ambition. Is it not a good one? It was a good one. So the guy came and said, oh, one thing can I do? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one. And that is God. But if you want to enter into life, what did he say? Keep the commandments. Verse 18. And he said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still want? Lack. So the guy knew that he had not come into eternal life. He had not come into life. So when you're saying, do these things, commandments, say which ones? So he had kept them. So he knew that he hadn't yet come into life. And Jesus now said to him, if you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you would have what? Treasure in heaven. And after you have done that, you can now come and what? Follow me. So, we are still going to come back to these scriptures, but you will see that. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away what? Sorrowful. For he had what? Great possession. So this young ruler was not a small person. No. He was keeping, and those commandments, actually, you know that those commandments, love, they were more of command. You know, the commandments of God can be summarized. The commandment from the Old Testament can be summarized into two: love the Lord your God, and then love your neighbor as yourself. All those don't murder, don't steal, don't covet. All of them still has to do with loving your neighbor. So the aspect of loving your neighbor. So that is one thing I want us to also note: you cannot come into life if you don't love the brethren. So you see him, that was the first command. Then I said, that one, I've even done it to an extent. And then it was done, even before he could give him, you see that Jesus did not tell him, he did not give him the next layer until he had already passed this one. So he told him, Have you done this? He said, okay, I have done it. Then now told him the next requirement. But if he had not done that, he would not even be qualified to hear what the next layer. So, and you see that this guy had done some level of obedience, but yet had not come, because he wouldn't have asked that, what do I need to do to have eternal life? So he had actually done certain things. And then, so this guy was actually rich. He was rich in certain works. He was rich in certain understanding. So he knew the commandments. No, no, we accept which ones. So he had a level of understanding. And the commandments or instructions attached to that, he had already done them. But that was not all. See, that was not all. There was still more. But you see him now come to the next stage in which he was going to come. And then Jesus giving him the instructions that we, it's not even the next stage, the instructions that we qualify him to come and start learning the next stage. This guy could not pay the price. And so we can look at him and just say, and that could actually happen to us. You know, you've worked with the Lord to an extent, you know certain things about God. Then you come to a place that everything you have known, God is saying you should just lay it down and come and learn something new. And you'll just be like, ah, so I will just, you know, forget all of this. You see, that was one of the things. You know, last week we celebrated Mommy Ellie's birthday. And that was one of the things I really appreciated about her. And I remember Reverend Busi also saying that there is not many people that can journey with the Lord in different faces. There is not many, you understand, there's not many people who can journey. That when you taste certain things about God, there's a tendency for you to stay there and want to die there. Because it's God's results, it's got everything. That when at different seasons, when you can always shift, when you can always move, you can move from one thing to the other. You know, you can forget, you know, like Paul said, forgetting the things that are behind and pressing on. I know those things behind, they're not small things, so. You know, I'm sure many of you know Mommy Helen's story. She was when it comes to basics of faith, milk, she was a Reverend Mrs. Oedi. She was working in another, you understand, gifts of healing, all of those things. And then you now see some God bringing something. Not many people are meek enough to lay down what they have known, to move into something. It takes a level of meekness and brokenness to now say, you don't understand. I remember in school, you say that. You that you are maybe in one move. You are a geo, like general overseer. And then you are moving, then another move of the spirit comes. There's another clarion cry in the spirit. You see, when you are moving into the new one, you're not going to move into it as a geo. You are going to start from the scratch. You are going to sell all that you have and then come empty to come and learn new things. And you know what? The funny thing is that if you don't sell all that, if you don't lay down everything you have known to come and appreciate the new thing, that was not as if you'll be doing, but you'll still be there and you'll be prospering. You'll just be a chief in a particular realm. You know, you just be, not those other realms, you know. I want you to just imagine it as, things in God, imagine them as realms. And in those realms, there are vast expanse of land that you can explore. So if you stay in it's a particular city, maybe you stay, God has brought you to where God is taking you to. Let's say, what other town is after Lagos? Maybe God was Benin and all that. Let's say that's where God is taking you to. And then you have not gotten to Ibadan. And you get, you know, Ibadan is large. I even feel Ibadan is larger than Lagos in terms of expanse. And then you now get to Ibadan. And then you see, wow. This is a lot, and then, but your destination is still Benin. But you know that you can actually stay in Ibadan, and you can use a lifetime to explore Ibadan. The same thing also in God. There are different dimensions in God. So God can, in our journey with Him, God can bring us somewhere. And then it is time to move. And then we just tabernacle. And in that realm, everything, Mama Bimo, Mama Resi, you'll be making progress. In fact, you'll be getting better. You'll be getting more skilled in that realm, but there is still more. So that was one of the things I looked at her that I really, when I was thanking God for her life, that I really looked at her and I really thank God for her. That heart to journey with the Lord. Ready to lay everything down and pursue the Lord. You see, all of us must have that thing. Say we must have that thing. We must know Abraham, our father, had that thing. That was why he dwelt in tents. He did not dwell in house. Do you think Abraham could not have built a city? Or maybe could not have built houses with bricks and whatever. But said he lived in tents. Why was he living in tents? Because he was on a pilgrim. It is easy to fold a tent and move on than for you to have built a castle. You know, it would be very difficult for you to move on. That is it. We must build a life that is on a journey. That we can easily move. When God says it is time to move, you are ready to do what? Move. You are not settling in your mind. You are not settling, Paul said all those things. I appreciate it. I said, forgetting those things that are behind and pressing. So tense mentality. Ability to move on. Yes, you have able to lay hold on this in the spirit, but know that there is still more. Tell them, but say there is still more. But you see, that journey, even in the Old Testament to journey, they did not journey just on their own. No. They need trumpets to do what? To journey. So you will see them, they had like two trumpets. There was a trumpet that was used to call them for congregation. So you can see, say, make two silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for calling the congregation and for directing what? The movement of the camp. So for two purposes, for calling, to make a general assembly, and then also for movement forward. No, they were journeying in the wilderness. So there were times that they actually camped and they could stay there for a while. And then when it is time to move, because just imagine all of people, who can I be going? Everyone say, yeah, move. So what they usually did, what they would do was they would blow. So there are two different kinds of trumpets. And those two trumpets are different sounds. So when it is time that the Lord wants them to move, once the cloud starts moving, you will see them, they will do what? They will blow the trumpet. There's a particular trumpet they will blow. It's a kind of sound that it will give to tell them that it is time to do what? To move on. So everybody will just pack their tent. So imagine somebody that has built house, don't invest. You know that it will be very difficult to move. So they will just move. And imagine if that trumpet blows. And you say, maybe you are just settling in the place. Maybe you just even just gave birth. Just gave birth. No. They are still cleaning the border. Then, many times you don't imagine those things. And then the trumpet sound. Oh man, you have to move. Oh. If you don't move, know that because what dictates the trumpet is when they begin to see the cloud moving. When the cloud moves like this, they blow the trumpet to alert everybody that it is time to do what? To move. So, what you're doing. And you know what? That cloud was their survival package. It said it provided them what? It was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. In the night, because in the wilderness there are a lot of wild animals. So that fire will surround them to prevent them from animals invading them. And then during the day, it was a cloud. The wilderness is always hot. So it was a cloud to provide succor, to provide refreshment, to provide covering from the scourge of the sun. So imagine not heeding to the trumpet. When the trumpet comes, imagine not heeding to the trumpet. Just try and imagine. It's always good sometimes to just imagine. So just imagine the trumpet, and somebody says, Asha, be money, you are fair, shake, woman. Or maybe you just got married and you're about to start honeymoon. You're already in the room and then the teacher, papa, oh. I said, no. You can be going. We shall meet you. Eh? They were actually, to me, looking at that picture, they were just like an army. The kind of dealing. So just imagine that it was like, Boy Scouts, be ready. You just have to be prepared and be ready at all times. So what am I trying to say? And what I'm really trying to focus on now is the sound of the trumpets. How important the sound was, that trumpet was, for their journey. And so it's not just only enough for the trumpet to sound. There's another thing for you to respond to the trumpets. And you will see that, when those trumpets are very important. What did I say? The trumpets were very important for their journey. It was one of their survival packages. Yeah. You know, it was very important. That trumpet had to, so once the cloud is moving and they sight it, they blow, they sound the trumpet, and everybody will begin to pack whatever. If Carlos was say Shula, what is you know the halfway by Makaneni. You just pack it and then you just start, you know, you start making preparations to start moving with the cloud. Hallelujah. And if it is in the night, moving with the fire. Say pilgrimage. So many times, so you know, sometimes when you abuse the children of Israel, you should know that it was not easy for them. And it was not as if they would tell them that every month, that it's 3 months, so they can settle now, maybe in another 5 minutes, the thing can move. You can't do timetable for the movement. Once the cloud moves or the fire moves, it's time to move. It is based on the Lord. Say, based on the Lord. It's based on the Lord. So, I wrote it that the movement in the Old Testament was determined by the trumpet. And there are two things that are important. Hearing the trumpet and responding to the trumpet. Tell neighbor, say, hearing the trumpet and responding what? To the trumpet. And you know, it is the trumpet, it is the that blowing of that trumpet for their movement was going to eventually culminate in them entering into the promised land. So them coming into the promised land, journeying into the promised land, was dependent on the trumpet. The trumpet blowing and move. The trumpet was, so just imagine it was the blowing, each time the trumpet was blown, the one for their movement, it was a step towards their what? Into coming into the promised land. Because they were journeying towards what? The promised land. And those blowing of the trumpet was what initiated their movement. Makes them move. Makes them mobile in the spirit. How does that apply to us in this system? There are times that God still speaks. There is sounding of the trumpet. In fact, in the book of Revelation, say, it's not in I think in Paul was saying something that, and the last trump, that the hearing of the last trump, that's when death will be swallowed up. But you see, that last trump, for you to tell you that there is a last trump, means that there are many, there are other trumpets that have blown. Say, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpets will sound, and the dead will be raised what? Incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. So even this experience, it is based on the last trump. But you see, before you come to the last, you can't come to the last trump if you have not been hearing the other what? Trumpets. So many times talk about the last trumpet. If you have not been hearing all the other trumpets have been blowing, you're not going to hear any, can you? You can't hear it. Because in fact, it is the trumpet, it is those sounds. You know, so imagine a child that was born even in the Old Testament. How would that child hear the trumpet? It's because the child has heard it over and over again. So he has already attached. So the child is not going to be born with an ear to hear the trumpet. But experiences of trumpet is actually what creates ears. And that is the same thing also. Hearing of doctrine creates what? Yes. So if you have not heard certain teachings, you will not even have ear to hear God. That's why you see in the book of Revelation, you say that he that hath an ear. And you see, and then you said I was talking to the churches. Those churches they've heard several teachings that has brought them to that place. And those teachings were supposed to have created what? An hearing ear. That can now receive, they've heard certain things. Those things that they've heard had created a kind of, made them to, they were tuned somehow in the spirit. So that tuning could help them to now hear higher frequencies in which God was what? Speaking. What am I trying to say? Doctrine is very important. So you must see doctrine for you to journey well with the Lord. You must see doctrine as the sound of the trumpets. So when God brings an understanding, brings something to us, those things are for our journey. Sometimes it can be to gather us at an assembly to reinforce the things that we have heard, and sometimes it can be for advance. Say advance. I can't hear you. Say advance. So those trumpets, there were two. One was to gather the general assembly to strengthen the things that they have heard, and then the other one was for advance what in the Spirit. And both are what? Important. Say both are important. Both are important. So every instructions, teachings, and whatever they are going to do, they do it through the God, through the blowing of the one that gathers them together. Then when it is time to advance and to move forward, there is also another trumpet that blows. Amen. Are you following me? So those trumpets were going to, they're producing sounds that culminates actually into a kind of hear, gives them a kind of way to perceive and understand God. And not just only perceive and understand God, he was ultimately bringing them closer to the promised land. Say the promised land. So the hearing of doctrine is supposed to be doing something in you, bringing you closer. So when you talk about doctrine, so that's why you see what you read in Acts 10. We talk about the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. I know we have talked about our own promised land is not a land. Our promise is what? A person. So the more you hear doctrine, the more it should be drawing you closer to God. Closer to him. Bringing you more into what? Fellowship. Say fellowship. So all of these things that we are hearing is supposed to be doing something to us. We're supposed to be coming into deeper levels of what? Fellowship. Because you are drawing what? Closer. Say drawing closer. And like I said, the trumpets will blow and blow and blow and blow. I'm sure by the time they entered into the last shift into the promised land, maybe a trumpet will just blow brown and then they just shift and then the next place they find themselves maybe inside the promised land. So what am I trying to say? The blowing of the trumpet in the Old Testament culminated into coming into the promised land. The same thing also. There's a way that Rudolph used to say it, and I like it. The increasing understanding of God. There's a way it brings us into God. You know, as understanding is increasing, we are supposed to be coming more into God. Amen. Yeah. Are you getting the picture? Yeah. So you must. So why am I saying this? Because so that you can see the importance of doctrine. So every time maybe an understanding comes to the house and you refuse to walk or respond to that understanding, you are doing yourself a disservice. There is something happening to you in the spirit. So that is why it happens. Sometimes maybe an understanding is coming, you are not responding, After a while, you just find out that you are just cut off somehow. You can still be coming to church, but you are lost. You can be lost to a strange understanding. You can be, they were wild animals. You can be lost to a strange understanding. You can be lost to a strange perspective. You know, those wild animals. You can be taught. You can be lost to certain attitudes. And I tell people, you see, sometimes some attitudes that event, some dirty attitudes, some dirty habits that catch up with us sometimes. It is maybe at certain times you're not responding well to doctrine. Then you just see certain habits, certain attitudes that you have parted with that were not even there before. Just see them expressing. Sometimes it might be that when trumpets were blowing, understanding has been coming maybe in the past, you were not responding well. Or you just see that sitting just come, it's as if you come into dryness. This dryness is not because of one girl. You are just dry. Oh, connect. It might be that some just feel as if anything is not working around you. It might be that. Seasons where what have become, you have been neglecting it. You were not following. You were not giving yourself. So what I'm trying to say, I want you to see doctrine as your lifeline. It's like a lifeline to keep walking and journeying with the Lord until you come into what? Life. You keep journeying as to what is my feel that now this what they are saying doesn't matter to me. So imagine now they are talking, maybe now you are still single. We've been talking everything about marriage. They are saying, oh guys, they've been talking about how to love. They've been saying it, but you feel I don't need that one. Now is how I will pass my exam and I will have first class from UI. That's what bothers you. But they are saying it, you are not, even though you are not in that season of life, but you are not applying those things and installing those things. Then you now come to a place where you now get married. Then you are now faced with challenges and you don't know how to respond. You know that many times you do like that. That one does not concern you. We used to talk about marriage. I'm not even looking at any sister now. Pastor, preach revelation. Don't be sharing about all these married things. But all those things that the Lord is speaking now, you're supposed to be installing them. You know, now you may not be working. Maybe you are still a student. And then pastor is talking about workplace, how you should relate with your boss, you know, and talking about all of these things. Some of the church, and you don't see it as, it doesn't concern me. Doesn't consign me. Let me use that. What you say? Doesn't consign me. And then you now come to a season of your life where you are now faced with that thing. And you're supposed to, what should have happened is that all those things should have been installed in you. And you should be able to harness it and use it at that point in time. So many times we joke with doctrine and we don't know the consequences, you know, of those things. You know, it's like having a child and you don't vaccinate that child. And you just assume that. They say, no, there is a whole store. There's a whole syllabus of vaccine that you're supposed to take at every point in time. Those things are just to immune you for future. Because you don't know, maybe your child will be exposed to somebody that has measles or TB. And you don't know, nothing they happen. We just missed one. Then all of a sudden, something just happened. Your child is exposed to somebody with TB. And there is no immunity to fight it. That's how we do at times in the spirit. Certain things that, you know, so I want you to see message. You see, what I want you to see, I want you to see understanding, message that the Lord brings to us as the Lord doing what? Equipping us. As the Lord arming us against certain things in the spirit. As the Lord arming us, not, you know, arming us against certain things. It is warfare. Yeah. So that's why we are not unable to fight certain things in the spirit, because they are very, you know, it's like contracts. They say, when they ask the devil, I want to execute the contract in you. But when they were executing it, you were not on ground. So that is the kind of importance we must attach to understanding, to the doctrines that the Lord brings to us, understanding light that the Lord brings to us at each point in time. Amen. Amen. And I want you to know that there are different levels of speaking. Say different levels of speaking. There are different levels of speaking. So at each point, you know, I was saying that, you know, I was looking at different, you know, when you are in Pentecost, in that order, there is a level of speaking. And that speaking, all this issue of our basic of faith, sincere milk, is supposed to produce certain things in us. It's not some of us, when I look at you and the way you behave, one of the reasons I know you are behaving the way you are behaving now is because you did not take sincere milk. So the thing would always, it will always show. In your attitude, your disposition, it's because it is like a major, it's like a deficit. Yes. So every speaking that the Lord brings, understand, is supposed to produce something to us that ultimately makes us balanced and wholesome. But what I'm saying is that even those speakings, there are different levels. I know there are some people that also have an extreme. They just want to stay at milk level. I know that milk level is sweet. There are exploits in milk. Look at Stephen. That was a peak of milk. You see the hex, but in fact, some of us have not even gotten there. You know, milk also has its own characteristics, its own exploits, and all that. But no, God many times does not want us to stay there. He would bring another speaking to push us into the next way. What I'm trying to say, there are different levels of speaking. Say different levels of speaking. But you see, there's one of the things that the Lord started showing me that I saw. You know, it was when Pastor was preaching about, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and he was painting, you know, that the day he preached about heavens and all that. You see, every year, I always, like, there's always, it's just, what I'm trying to say is that teachings, speakings, paints our destinations. There's something, if you give yourself to a particular understanding, there is something about our destination that it will paint to you. If you come to a higher level of speaking, it will also paint, it can paint a better picture because you have a clearer insight or perspective to judge that issue. And there was a time I used to, Revelations 14 was always, I always feel Revelation 14 was the peak. Yeah. I used to feel that Revelation 14 was the peak. Stand with the Lamb, 144,000, having the Father's name on their forehead. In fact, I don't, you know, in the spirit, you can see yourself in the light of, I don't usually see myself. When I see the peak, that is like the picture. in my mind. Ah, that God, if I used to pray, say, ah, God, if I can just bring me to this place, pray those prayers, pray all those scriptures without guide and all that. And it was like the picture of maybe what, you know, it was just a picture in my mind. Then recently, it's not because I've not heard all those, and honestly, I just began to see a shift, you know, about the throne. You know that these people in Romans 14, they had not gotten to the throne. They had not gotten to the throne. And all of a sudden, it was just like a major shift in the spirit. I just began to see that, okay, that it's not just only seeing yourself in this side, that there's a coming to the throne. You know, this one is not now based on maybe you know knowledge, but I'm saying about not that, I don't know, maybe it happens to you, as in seeing yourself. If I remember my birthday last year, this was my prayer. Revelation 14 was my prayer. If I remember one picture, I said to him, you should do that picture for me. That I stood with the lamb. That was the picture. That was what I was seeing in my mind. Then when I was preaching that picture, I think when Pastor was preaching that message about 2 years ago, it was just like a major shift. I just saw that thing, the throne. That actually, when you are talking about eternal life, you are talking about thronic things. I know it was like a change in picture. That's what I'm telling you, that preaching, you know, like we said this morning, that how can they call on God? You know that what I knew before was the peak of what my prayer could be. So when I was praying for years, I'm telling you, this Revelation 14, for years, Revelation 14, I was always being the picture in my mind. I was always thinking, I want to stand with, as I just picture myself with the lamb. That was always the picture. Until that understanding came, just came like a thunder. And it was as if somebody just shifted my eyes to another prayer point. And I just saw it in the new week, okay, that there is actually more to it. So it was not because I've not heard on that, I've not heard those things yet, but it was like a, that's what you call it, was like a trumpet sounding in my heart to make me journey, to make me see that there is a destination beyond this Revelation chapter 14. What I'm actually saying, I want us to look at Revelation chapter 22 from verse 1 to 6. I just want to show us something. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding. This one is different from Revelation 21. Proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of his street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruits every month. The leaves of the tree were for the... Pastor might correct me, but I just began to see that even in eternal life, there are seasons. You know, Revelation 21, I believe, I don't know, I might be wrong. I'm not really good about it. The way God just, Revelation 21 looks like, you know, he said, I make all things new. It means that that is the beginning of eternal life. Then Revelation 22 is just giving us a glimpse into eternal. That even when we get, you know, the funny thing, even when we get there, you know, like I said, you know that the promised land is a land. Was a land. I know that in that land, there are many things to explore. So even when we talk about this eternal life, after that, should not see eternal life as something vague. Eternal life is God. God is our inheritance, a person. When we get to that point, there is still so much to explore. Then he who sat on the throne said, no, the 22, take him back to the 22. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see, you know, those other ones, they had the Father's name, but they were not seeing his face. He said they were just before the throne. They had not gotten to the throne. Revelation 14. So he now said, his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face. and his name shall be on the earth. So, no, like Pastor said, most of those things come from the back. So, they actually add the father's name first on their forehead. Then they made another journey. And then they were able to come to the throne and see him face to face. Then there shall be no light there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. Verse 6, I want to show you something. Then he said to me, these words are what? Faithful and true. And the Lord God of holy prophets sent his angel to show his prophet the things which must what? Surely take place. So these words. So he said that. And he said to me, these sayings are faithful and true. So you can see, say sayings. So they are preachings. So there is a preaching that will bring you into this experience. That will culminate. I'm not telling you that there are different doctrines, different speakings. If God exposes, if by mercy you are able to find this kind of words, words that are faithful and true, there is something, there's a work it will produce in you. That work will make you have the Father's name, and you would have what it takes to see the Father face to face. You know that there's a scripture that says that nobody has ever seen the Lord, that immortality dwelling in that which no man can see. But really, there are some people that will see God face to face. They would have said, who only has immortality dwelling in light, which no man can approach unto, whom no, you cannot approach, you cannot see. No man had seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power forever. But in Revelation 22, they thought of a people. They came to the throne. They don't just only come to the throne. They had worked something in there that had given them the face to behold the Father's, to behold the face of God. Amen. That is a journey. So now, let me now show you something. Let's go to Revelation 21. I want us to read from Revelation 21, from verse 1 to 4. But really, verse 5 is where we are going. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. These are not the people in Revelation 14. They had not experienced this. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are what? And what? Faithful. So this is another saying. So there was a saying, I believe that these sayings, these true and faithful words, were what granted men to actually come into eternal life. So there is a particular kind of word of doctrine that would work something within man that would make us actually come to this place in the spirit. Now let us look at Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, can you take me to the place where let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. And his wife are made herself ready. I believe that it's supposed to be from Revelation chapter 14 that journeyed to this point where they were now ready to become the Lamb's wife. And they're not just going to be, just become the Lamb's wife. They're going to partake. You know, Pastor taught us about the Jewish marriage, the consummation. There's actually a supper. There's actually a feast. That when you take that feast, it is still part of the marriage, but that the marriage process is not just an event. It is like a process. And then one of the major processes is now when they do the feast. Then after the feast is now the culmination, go, where the bride goes with the bride into the chamber. I believe that one is the eternal life, go, the destination. But that feast is still, yeah. So I believe that those Revelation chapter 14 saints, where the people that know they had gone through a process, then they had come here. Now she said, and he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are what? The true sayings of God. Christ said it's different from faithful and what? True sayings. So there is a word that produces this kind of people that are not just only standing with the lamb on Mount Zion, but they are now prepared to partake of the lamb supper. So when they now partake of this lamb supper, so there's a sign that prepares them and makes them qualify for this lamb supper. And I believe that in that, I don't know, I might be wrong, but I believe that it is in that lamb supper that they will now feed them with something again, the true and the faithful. That will now empower them to actually come into the lost chamber. You know that when you come into the chamber, hey, brother, there is no, both of them will be naked and they are not ashamed. God will be ready to see you what? Face to face. So I'm actually saying there are different. See, I just want to stir something up in your heart that there is, you know, sometimes when you say IT world, that there is possibility in the IT world, you can become in the world of God. There are possibilities. It is how far you can journey with the Lord. What did I say? But it depends on two things: what you are hearing and how you are what? Responding. He shows us how we can come. So that possibility, I began to see that. Oh, so it was during this last teaching that my mind just opened up to this, so that, okay, I shouldn't just be seeing myself. I'm not saying I've gotten to Revelation chapter 14, but I'm just saying that, you know, the destination shapes your prayers. So I just begin to say a prayer that, God, I want to get to the throne. I want to get to the place where I can see you, Lord, face to face. And that was why God was angry with the Laodicean church. They were already closed. It was as if getting to the feast. You'd come to the feast, but you don't enter with the bridegroom into the chamber. So he was very angry with them. So many times, you know, before, we used to think that they were the backsliding church. We used to think that they were the worst. They were not the worst. The reason why God was angry with them really was because, why will you get to this point and you not be able to enter? Let's look at the Laodicean church. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write this. See God's expression to them. This God's expression to them. You know, the way God expresses himself to us. And the way God expresses himself to us. The revelation of God to us is through his speakings. Do you all agree? The revelation of God to you. How you will know how God is unveiling himself to you is to see the way God is. The understanding that the Lord is bringing to you in a season. So you said to this, when he was going to appear to them, see the way he appeared to them. He did not appear to any church like this. He appeared to them and said, this thing said, amen, faithful, and what? True witness. You know what amen means? Amen means it is done. So God wanted to bring them to the place of finish, of completion. So you will see, you know, why I said that most times usually from the back. So I believe that they needed true witness and faithful sayings to now come to a place of completion. And that completion is what? Amen. Amen. So this was how God appeared to them. So this said the amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of what? The creation of God. You know, like we said in Revelation 21, he said, behold, I make all things new. So this one is at the beginning of another realm of God. This is the realm of God, the realm of eternal life. So he was bringing this word to them that men and God was bringing these sayings to them to push them from where they were so that they can come into that ultimate position in God. And when they get into that ultimate position, it's the beginning of another journey. So we go life and live with you, my current come, and then we will start another life entirely. I see when we get to the heaven, we're not going to be singing amen, hallelujah, holy, holy, holy. It is another learning entirely. So let's continue. Verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would have had you cold. Maybe you should just be cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, I neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Verse 17. Because thou sayest, can you see? That was their understanding. Your understanding is your word. You're saying. You know, Pastor was telling us the other time. He was talking about that when the words come, you will say in your when faith has been created in your heart, what happens? He shows in your word your confession. So for them, and I believe that they were actually rich. Rich in terms of understanding. They had gained certain grounds in the spirit. Said, I am rich and increased with good. That I have need of nothing. So they felt that they have completed their journey. And knowest not that thou art what? Wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Why were they naked? The glory of God ultimately was supposed to be their covering. Like read Revelation chapter 22. You know, he said something. He said that you do not need any need of any light. He said God himself is the light. So I was telling them that where you are currently, compare, you can look at where you are coming from and look at it and say, I'm going to make progress. But God was making, remember that when he appeared to them, he was coming as the amen. He was coming as the true and was talking at the faithful, coming from that realm. So coming from that man and looking at them was like, you know, that's what I'm trying to say. It's just like if you feel like a millionaire, you know, you feel you have achieved, you know, maybe. Where you are coming from, in fact, when you grew up, you could not afford tap. And then all of a sudden, God blesses you, and then you have a business and you become a millionaire. You know, when you become a millionaire, you feel that you have arrived. Then all of a sudden, you now meet a multi-billionaire. When the person is looking at your money, it looks like change. You know that it looks like what? It looks like change. So God was coming. God was stepping out from eternal life to them and assessing them and telling them that you feel you're all right today. There's still more compared to where your destination. You are wretched. You are miserable. You are poor. You are blind and naked. Because they were very close to coming into their destination. So that was the answer. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold. Tried in the fire, that thou mayest be what? Rich. And white garments, that thou mayest be what? Clothed. And the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. So that they can see that there is still more. Tell your neighbor, say there is still more. So he's telling them that your eyes, and you see, like what I said, it's always backward. What they first of all need before they can become rich in here is the eyesight. Because the eyesight that make them see that, there is still more. What we have now compared to what God fully has in store for me, it's serious, Omode. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Say, repent. Behold, I stand at the door. And knock. That is the sound of the trumpets. So he's sounding. He's coming to them without understanding. And he said, if any man hears my voice and open the door, said, I will come with him. I will sup with him. I will fellowship with him. So doctrine brings you into what? Fellowship. And he with me. Verse 21. To him that overcome. So you need those sayings to overcome. So there was, you know, like Pastor said, that there are two things to overcome. We need to overcome sin and death. So I believe this church, I don't know if you can correct me, I believe this church had already come to a place they were sinless, but they had not become deathless. They could still be corrupted. They could still turn. So I said that if you can overcome those things that make people corrupted, that make people fade away, said, I grant... To do what? Sit with. Can you see? Sit with me, what? In my throne. So you can see that faithful and true sayings are related to what? Thronic things. So so you can see that he cannot be promising them throne. So that's, I believe, that those churches were the closest. Even as I overcame. And I am what? Set down. Say, set down. So there is no settlement until you are set down with the Father. Until you must tell yourself, say, you must not settle. Oh, tell your neighbor, say, you must not settle. until you are set with the Father on the throne. So that I'm set there with my Father in his throne. Notice what she said. He that hath what? And hear. Let him what? Hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. So those sayings, these sayings of the Spirit were supposed to bring them to the throne. If they don't respond to these things, they're not going to get there. What did I say? If they don't respond, they're not going to do what? They're not going to get there. And see, many times we settle for less. We just give up in the Spirit. We don't settle. Many things can make you settle. Children can make you settle. Maybe before, you used to be somebody passionate about the word. You know, Naka was telling me that when she first started hearing this word, that once pastor preach every week like this, that when they get back home, before they sleep, they will listen to that message and they will pray. No wonder she'll just say, she'll just pray that God will help them. That when she first started hearing this way. No, so I'm not saying, I just want to make it practical. You know, that you know the way our hearts, but at the time you just come, you just feel that I am, at those times, I'm sure one of the things that happened to her then was that she was just hearing these things for the first time, and she wanted to come into understanding. So now, when you know, you don't get understanding small now. You don't know the difference between everlasting life and life. You don't know some of those things. There's just something about the soul. The soul we just want to settle. If I don't hear on Tuesday, we are on Thursday. You're already rich. You know the way some of us loved the word when you first started hearing this word? As in, the way your heart, when you sit under the word, your heart will burn. But now, you're just under the word. As in, that response is no longer there. Let me shock another one. The way some of us, you loved the preachers of this word when you first heard this word, you loved them. When you see Pastor Dimeji, but you Pastor Dimeji there. But you see, but you hate him, but you want it there. Oh, my, you suffering, Lord. You begin to have resentment towards your leaders. You know, the way some of us, when you first heard this word, there was nothing you could not give for this word. There was nothing you could not sacrifice. But now, it doesn't move you. You know, when I went for Mommy Ellen's, that Mommy Ellen's birthday to me was ministration to me. You need to, before her birthday, like a week or whatever before her birthday, God had been helped. God had just been bringing her life. You know, I looked. And that is why nobody strolls into life. You don't stroll into God. I looked, and it's not just, you know, nobody strolls into God. You don't just stroll into God and just have things of God just like that, casually. It doesn't happen like that. I began to look at our obedience. You know, you can look at our, I look at our obedience. I look at her love. You know, when they told me to come and talk about that, one of the things I talked about, I said, I love for men of God. That thing used to touch. She, as in, I mean, she loves people that serve God. And it's not, don't forget, not just people that are doing love of righteous, word of righteousness. So even from our pastors way back, she loves people that are serving God, that are preaching the gospel. You see the way she will serve them with her thing. You know, the story of our pastor, how she bought canvas for our pastor. That was even the canvas that our pastor wore to us. You know, Makinala was still saying it, that she would come and she would bring food to their house. That she was from a well-to-do family, so to say. But that she would, that the way she, even some of our friends still said it, the way she gives. You know, some of us, you can hear what, but you cannot give. And you just feel that you will stroll into life like that. It doesn't work that way. I tell people, if the gospel, when the gospel touches your heart, it will touch your pockets. It will touch your pockets. There will be nothing that you cannot give. You will be sensitive to people's needs. And you see, initially I used to think that maybe she just only gives to maybe pastors. Because she would tell me, if I sometimes she gave me one perfume, one bad perfume like that. That perfume was very expensive. Ah, that when I saw this perfume, I said, I want your pastor. So when she even gave me, I just kept it. I said, the perfume here, Wony. You know, I'm just telling you, she tell me to, sometimes she buy me, say, Mori material, Kim referral material, come for pastor. Yeah, look, this long, because 10 years, it's long, fera. Make one material, come on, big man of God, man. Be one reverend, busy, come on, worship, kitchen, come on, 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 come
even come, maybe it was just only ministers of the gospel that she does that to, until some of her friends came too. And we're talking about how she giving to them. That are not even in these waters. How she gives. That she's always giving. And you know, many times we all feel that because they have. It's not because they have plenty. You know, when I was saying the amount of people she gives perfume to, I used to say, okay, maybe they gave her perfume and then does she want to? But I found out that no, it's not as if they give her. Because when everybody was coming and they were talking, I said, that means that she takes her money to buy those things and give to people. And they're not cheap ones. So I was just like, wow. Oh, girl. So I'm just saying that sometimes how we come into life. So even me, I had to go and revisit my life. Because I know that before, I know I used to give to men of God, do all those things. But no, sometimes, you know, when you just have so many needs, I have to step up. Yeah. I have to step up. How I give to people, how I minister to people. You know, sometimes just overwhelmed, everybody's always having it. And you know, there's just a way your heart will just shut down. Yeah. I have to revisit and say that, I have to revisit this thing. You know, sometimes you don't know the secrets of what brings us. Yeah. To God. Sacrifice.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Parts to life. It's a part to life. It's a part to life. It's a part to life. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. Blessed are you that in your days have been able to have people that have trained to embody parts to life. Blessed are you that you see them, you're close to them. People that I have led, I've beat them to shape, to show parts to life. It's a part to life. It's a part to life. Many do not know the part to life. Many labor and they labor in vain. They labor in things that are not parts to life. They labor in things that will not get to life. They struggle in things that will not get to life. But blessed are you. Blessed are you that you are seeing parts to life. You are seeing parts to life. You are seeing the work I did in my handmaiden, Reverend Helene Oigoke, that you are seeing the work. For you to even see the work, you are blessed. For you to have eyes to see the work, I have led you. I have led you for you to see that work. Many will not see that work. Many will despise the work. Many will have no value for life. Who has no worth for life will not appreciate that work. But you have value for life. You know what life is. You have regard for life. That is why you are seeing that part. I will make it known to you. I will come to you personally and show you detail of it yet more. Because you appreciate it. Because you love it. Because you seek it. Because you talk well of it. I will show you the details. I will show you the lines. Even what was not said, I will make it known to you. And you will put your step in that path and that steps. And you also will come into that life. It's my desire that all come into that life. I want you to come into that life. follow that steps, you will surely arrive there. And you also will be a template. You will be one who I will also show yet to many that are coming behind. Hear the Lord.
You know what I want to say? Even though I really did not want to say it, but you see, you cannot say you want to come into life if you're not laying down. You must keep laying down. Laying your material goods. Blessing the saints. Blessing the brethren. Blessing people. Blessing those that labor over you, that preach over you. You know, even before I got into this, when it was my mommy that taught me, when she was going out, if a minister of the gospel, if you do a mistake to come pass in front of our house, or you just come into my house, and you say, a minister must not come near you, and you allow the minister to go empty-handed. Now you see that blessing on that minister that you can, if a baker comes here, so maybe if our pastors come, and then they come and pray, they just sit and they pray. When you say that prayer cannot be answered, no, I'm not saying about you, I know to an extent it can be extreme. She said that prayer cannot be answered if you don't bless the minister. He said that he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet. So sometimes she didn't know how much she was a teacher. She sometimes salt, maybe a packet of salt that we have not opened. She just gave me kifun, mommy tebate. As in, I grew up seeing her do that. She was a teacher. I'm just telling you some of those. She was a teacher. When it is January, my mommy used to buy, you know, September, that's when you buy uniform. My mommy used to buy Christmas clothes in September because she feels that is when it is cheapest. So you just imagine as a child, you'll be seeing your Christmas clothes since September till December. It was a torment. But you know what mommy used to do? For that September, mommy used to do cooperative. I remember I was primary school. She used to do cooperative, so she would be saving that money. So when she saved that money, it's only one clothes she would buy for us. But in that money too, she had money for a pastor's clothes. So she would buy, she said, I got a marriage. I saw her do those things over and over and over again. My mommy is retired now. Every year, she will still save money for the children. She said, how much is your money that you said, that you don't get blessed by saving and saving, that you get blessed by giving, and really she's blessed. Sometimes when I need money, when I traveled out of God and I needed money and I could not access money here, I called her, and I was not calling her for 500,000, no. I was calling her for millions. First thing the way he said, I said, how much do you need? He said, is 1 million enough? I was just looking at her, a retired teacher. As in, but you know, because each year when she buys things for the children, I would say, mommy, don't buy things for them that I'm the one that I'm supposed to be giving you. That if I'm feeling ashamed, she said that she's not doing it because of me. Oh, that one way to be blessed is that you don't get blessed by hoarding, that you get blessed by always giving. When she comes there, she'll be asking, where's the church account number that she wants to sow every year when she comes? She will, as in, so I look at her, I just saw it. Many of you we've not learned some of these things. It's some things that you must learn. In fact, that prophet, I knew it. I remember that Mrs. Fad too, Grandma Fad too. Yeah. No, she's also like that. Yeah. She said, some people used to tell me that mommy will give them, if judges don't have anything, she will give them lantern. Yeah. You know, those women, they just know the blessing, So you know why I'm saying, why I'm bringing this to us. You see, you know what you read in the morning when we were reading. I don't think it is because we want your money. It's not that, sincerely. It's not that. It's just, I'm just telling you some of the things that makes people come into life. You know, in the morning we read something that the pastor was teaching us. He said, "You gave us that chain in Romans 10. Sent with the gospel, the preacher. Then when you have the preacher." I wrote it in my diary. The preacher, then from the preacher to having faith, then from having faith, then you can call upon the Lord. The Lord is around you. Say, how we say that the Lord is nigh? Who we go? That what makes the presence of God around you? You know, that preacher is carrying a blessing, and that blessing is this gospel. Those are the sayings. So some of us, the way you will tap into these sayings, this understanding. He said, he that receives a prophet. The name of a prophet shall receive what? A prophet's reward. And many times, for you to come into that grace, many times, you need to minister to those prophets. We saw it in the Old Testament. Was it Elijah or Elisha now? That when he wanted to come into blessing, he prepared a room for that man of God so that he could have access to that blessing. The blessing, and I said, the blessing, your preacher, if your pastor gives you money, has not blessed you, it is good, you can collect it too. And I'm not saying you should not collect it. So they're not saying, mommy, I'm your family. Maybe you're going through something and say, ah, mommy, that's not the blessing. Give me the blessing. That's not it. But I'm telling you that the blessing, go, is that word of life, that saying that the Lord has committed into them. And some of us, we must move more. I'm just teaching you so that you will know how to relate. You see, you know that pastor was teaching over the week. He said in Pentecost, the way pastors relate, either you like it or not, we honor them. But you know that our own pastors now, they are with us. You can shout on them self. You know, the way you even see them, you cannot, it doesn't give you the chance to do that. What I'm just saying is that, I'm not even talking about giving whatever, I'm talking about honor. When you honor that grace, you will become a partaker of those sayings. So that saying, so it is not, it is good to come and listen to the saying, so, but you must also know certain attitudes that you must have that will make you partake of that grace. Come into those things in what? In reality. The Lord will help us. The Lord will minister to you, know, because some of these things are personal. The Lord will minister to you. Some of you, I know you are very stingy, even to brethren. A stingy buruku, you cannot come into. I'm telling you, you cannot come into that. I've not seen a stingy person come into that. You can come, but you'll be limited. So if you're a stingy person, you don't like parting with your things, you don't like parting with your time, you must pray to God that the Lord should open your heart. Should open your heart and make you a blessing. You want to bless the penny. I was teaching my daughter yesterday. I said, you must. I was teaching her. As in, I preached. I said something came over me. For about 30 minutes, I preached to her the reason why she should serve. She was saying that the reason why she doesn't like coming to the kitchen is that when she comes to the kitchen, it's only a plate she wants to watch. Remember, I said she should watch it. That all the sisters will not be coming. They will be piling a plate for her to watch. I said, why don't you want to serve them? I said, these people have been serving you. I said, they go to the market to buy the food you eat. I said, before you wake up in the morning, they have food. I said, they're not serving you. I said, so to wash me. I said, and I started teaching about service. I said, serving people. I said, you should. I said, what is your. I said, Bolo, she would love for me. She was not angry. I'm saying that she's not useful for me. I said, it is true. I said, I've been serving you all my life. I said, now that you have grown, you should be serving me. She said, she does. I said, no. She said, I don't tell her to do anything that she knows. I said, no. I said, it is you that you should look. I said, how can I serve my mommy? Now, what can I be doing for my mommy on if I want us to teach our teenagers how to serve, how to honor? We need to teach them. I said, you want us supposed to now look and say, how can I serve? I said, see your daddy. Your daddy don't even buy things for you. Before they enter school, their daddy has paid their school fees. Said, he's always thinking about you. I said, have you ever looked at it? He said, it's not that there's nothing tells him to that. He said, he's doing well in school. That is, I said, Jabi. That's not the way she thinks. He said she's doing well in school. That is one way she said. I said, no. I said, if you do well, you do well for yourself. That is, she's not giving me any problem. They're not calling me from her school. I said, So? I said, no. I said, you should look for what you can do to your daddy. That, okay, this is what I'll be doing for my daddy. To serve my daddy. I said, life is all about. I said, that is the way you get blessed. I said, so it is even when you say, when you come to the kitchen, you want to wash your plate, and you see one of the sisters also eating. I said, you should not just only wash your plate. You should have that sister. I said, Tadami, bring your plate. Let me help you wash it. I said, that is service. I said, you must serve people. I said, and make it a habit. So I said, God is always serving us. I said, and that is the beauty of life. I said, the more you become like God, I said, the more you want to serve people. So serving your brethren. Your brethren asks you, help me do this. Hello, I don't have time. You enter life. Please, say you are going to church. Please, can you help me back? No. I can't help you do that. Can you remember the story of that preacher, that Samaritan woman, the woman that fell? And the pastor said, I have preaching. I'm going to my church. Then there was just one guy that was going that took time to attend to that man that was robbed. I don't know. I was thinking about who is your neighbor. Serving your brethren. Your brother begs you. You see, this church, don't let me be waiting to use my authority before you do things for your brethren. could die. Don't let me call. Maybe somebody has told you, help me do this thing. And then don't answer the person. And then when I now call you, and I say, ah, is any of the job I'm shaking if any, and then now do it. You are blessing us. They will still bless you, but could they have full blessing? Not a shanwe. When your brother begs you for something, ah, please, can you assist me with this thing? Part of service, part of coming into life is serving your brother. He said, that will be the greatest. Let him be what? The servant. So you should be looking. How can, in the room, if you are five, you should be looking. How can I serve my brethren? How can I serve? How can I be a blessing to the people around me? What can I do? She said, people that used to yosha sile, you cannot enter life. Because it is not the nature of the kingdom. Say it is not the nature of the kingdom. When you see, you don't see the Father is not abstract. That means that you have what it takes to build the Father. You have all his characteristics. See the time God has been serving us since. With all our nonsense, God is still serving us. So that is how you must be. Be able to serve one another. Be able to do things for honor. So don't let the people be calling me and be saying, mommy, I've thought this thing. God, you should not answer me. Don't let me now be calling you. I'm saying, oh, their joy. It should be your joy to want to serve the brethren. To gain life. I said, what do you want me to do? You know, yesterday somebody said that you should. Jesus was teaching his disciples. Said, if somebody said that you should escort me by 1 mile. He said, you should do what? Somebody said, please help me wash just this my top. You should ask her, shall I be made Jesus be better as you can by info? That is what it means now. Hey, reply, we're going to say. That is what it means. So you should ask for more. Say, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him what? Twain. It's the kingdom. Service. Wanting to serve one another. Wanting to give to one another. Wanting to be a blessing. You have two bags. Somebody does not have bag. You dash it out. Don't say, I need the bag. I need both black and brown. The black is serving a purpose and the brown is serving a purpose. No, and somebody does not have one. Just give him. So just lay it down. More will come. Tell neighbor, say more will come. That is how we come into life. Let me quickly, that one was Ayaba. Let me finish our message. So, like we saw in Revelation chapter 19, verse 9, the true sayings, you know, prepared. The true sayings prepared them to come into the feast. And when they come to that feast, in that feasting, that is where they now feast on another menu. And that menu was now what we now bring them into what? The fullness. Amen. So I want us to know that those menu that they are giving us, God is using it to deal with sin and what? Death. Say sin and death. Let us look at, and you see, so I know we are very familiar with Isaiah 25. One of the ways God deals with death, you know that is the last enemy. Yeah. So that's why the last trump we deal with the last enemy. Yeah. We lead with death. The last trump we do what? Deal with the last enemy. And the last enemy is what? Yeah. Death is the last enemy. The enemy of man can be summarized into two: sin and death. So there is a gospel that takes care of sin. There's another gospel that is more potent that takes care of what? Death. Is that one sets you? Because it is death that makes men turn. So it deals with death. You cannot turn. You are incorruptible. You are undefiled. You are not fading. You know, like we read in that scripture, it said, set with God on the throne. So it said, and in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees. So there are two kinds of feasts here. But you see those feasts, they are even double-double. Say double-double. One, there are two. There is feast of wine, and there is feast of fats. Amen. So you see, a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the list. That is one feast. And it's not going to stop there. It will now go further. If now there's not a feast of fat things full of marrow. That one is different from the feast of fat things. And then there's another feast again. Feast of wine on the hills. What? Well refined. That's another feast. So double-double. Feast of fats and wine. So the one is feast of just fat and feast of wine and release. There's another one, feast of fat things, full of marrow, and feast of wine on the lees, well refined. So you see, you need this combo. Say combo. It is not this combo that can deal with death. So he said, and it will destroy in this mountain by taking all those. So you have to take all those feastings. Take all the feastings. Say, and it will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and on the veil that is spread over all nations. He will do what? Swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the heart. For the Lord had word spoken it. So it takes feastings to deal with the last enemy. And it is a combo feasting. Tell neighbor, say combo feasting. So that's why you must eat it all. So if you take only fat, it will not deal with death. If you take fat and wine on the lees, it is gotito. There are things that we do. But you need to take all. You need to take those first two combos. Then you take the next course again. Fat full of marrow. You see fullness. Then you will see wine. What? Well refined. How does it go to Songs of Solomon chapter 6? So the last enemy is death. So we need the true and faithful sayings to do what? To deal with death. And you will see Jesus, in Hebrews chapter 2, they're talking about Jesus. They describe him as what? The merciful and faithful high priest. Raised for us in things what? Pertaining to God. I know those things pertaining to God are things concerning the throne. So we need those two combos. Say mercy and faithfulness. So you will see him, even for Jesus to deal with death, sin and death, he needs those two combos to vanquish death and set us on the throne. So let's look at Songs of Solomon chapter 6, and I'll be rounding up there. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the stone, and terrible as an army with banners? So you know that we talked about the sun. It talks about the glory of the Father. The moon, the glory of Christ. He said, I went down into the garden of nuts to see the fruits of the valley. So this was the beloved talking about the woman that has come into fullness. I went down into the garden of nuts to see the fruits of the valley and to see whether the vine flourished and the pomegranates budded. Verse 12. Or ever I was aware, my soul made me like the chariots of Abinadab. Return, return, O Shulamites. So, you see, return, return. That's two feastings. And it is not just one. Again, he said it again. Return, return. That we may do what? Look upon thee. And you see in Hebrews chapter 2, he was talking about Jesus, the merciful and that brings reconciliation to God. So for us to come into full reconciliations, it's not just a one-off thing. We need dealings, feastings that must come to us. So he was not talking about the Shulamites. The Shulamites had not become... You will see, the Shulamite had not come, at this place, had not come into a fullness. Even though I was trying to describe what the fullness was supposed to be like. So return, return, O Shulamite, that we may look upon thee. What will you see in the Shulamite that will make you, that will make him look upon the Shulamite? I want you to give me a verse before where we started. There's a verse we read before we started. Start from verse 8. No. Go. Let's do 5. Yes. Okay, let's do 4. Thou art beautiful. So one of the things that this word will do is that it will make our soul comely before the Lord. It will make you... It's almost... So all these words, all those combo, they deal with all those things that do not make us attractive to God in the spirit. That does not make God to look at us face to face. Say, thou art beautiful, oh my love, as Tazar, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with what? Banners. You know, when you talk about banners, you're talking about identity. One of the ways you know a particular army, whatever they are, is that the banner that they raised. You know, you were able to identify them. So there were enemies that were already carrying identity. And it was not just only what you see, banners. So all those sayings, all those combo of sayings, they're going to walk certain things in the bride. So turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. This is the beloved talking to the church, that they are not looking at the eyes. Those eyes were beautiful. They could mesmerize the heart of our maker. Said, they have overcome me. Thy hair is like a flock of gold that appear from Gilead. Thy teeth are as a flock of sheep which go up from the washing. Thereof, everyone beareth twins. Say twins. And you will see everything about eternal life. You see the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he said. You will see true and faithful. So you see, whereof everyone beareth twins. And there is not one barren among them. As a piece of pomegranate at the temples within their log, there are 60 queens. 60 queens. 80 concubines and virgins without number. But none of them. None of these. This are showing different levels of separation. They're not yet the Shulamite. Different levels of separation. Different, showing all these things. Queens, concubines, virgins. They're showing different levels of walk with the Lord. But there is a Shulamite. There is a dove. Say a dove. You know what they call it? I said, my dove. You know what talks about dove? Dove has only, they can only see one thing. They only have eyes for one thing. Eyes for the throne. Eyes for the eternal God. Eyes for inheritance. Every other ambition, every other love has been taken away. And that is why their eyes can overcome him. You see, the eyes that can overcome God is an eye of a dove. The Lord cannot resist it. So they have gone through many washings. Said, my dove, my horn defiled, is but one. She is the holy one of her mother. She is the choice of her that bear her. The daughters, all those daughters, the virgins, the concubines, the queens, they're all different levels in God. Said, they saw her. Yes, the queens and the concubines. When they saw her, they did what? They praised her. Who is she? Can you now see? Not describing her. Who is this one? Who is that dove? Who is that one that his eyes is overcoming the Lord? Who is that beautiful one? And then they began to describe her. Terrible as an army. I went down into the garden of dawns to see the fruit of the valley. Take me back to where we were, verse 13, I think. Return, return. So not talking to them so that they can come and say, return, return, that we may look upon thee. So all those feastings, what they told is that they give you one eyes. They will give you face to see God. That's why God could look upon her. They had gone through feastings. They had gone through true sayings. Gone through faithful sayings. And now they can see God face to face. So what will you see in the Shunammite? As it were, the company of what? Two armies. So they have walked certain works in her. Works that have dealt with sin. And works that have dealt with what? Death. After the work of reconciliation, reconciling them fully unto the Lord. So, like when Isaiah 25, you will see that the last enemy is death. And before that can be done, you can see those double feastings. Two. Feast of fat, feast of wine. Feast of fat full of marrow, feast of wines on the least one, refined. Two works. These wines must be given to. I don't want what I want to round up it. Sometimes when you take the first wine, you don't want to take the second because you feel satisfied. That was what happened to the Laodicea church. And that was why God was angry with them. Because that first wine compared to the second one. So what I'm trying to say that you see, it's a prayer that you must pray in your heart, that in your lifetime, God will create an hunger that cannot be satisfied until you come into fullness. until you come into all that the Lord what has for you in store. It is a long journey. Your neighbor say it's a long journey. And you must pray that the Lord will make the destination clearer every. You see that prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, that the eyes of understanding be enlightened, is a prayer you should pray regularly. Yeah. That the hope of your calling will become clearer. Yeah. That the Lord will strengthen your hearts to see far. To see into him, to see far. Because it is thirsty. And that as the words are coming, the Lord will give you grace to do what? To respond. Can we rise up on our feet this afternoon and ask God for grace? That the Lord will grant us grace. To hear, hearing ears, seeing high, so that we can respond to the Lord the way the Lord wants us to respond.
All right, can we pray? That's a good place to pray. Just talk to God from your heart and just reach out to the Lord from your spirit. I want you to pray. Rama koko just veroni baranik dabas tioroman. Come on, reach out to God. Reach out to God. Let your spirit reach out in fellowship with the environment of truth that has distilled upon our hearts like the early morning dew. Porane geva, jujumaba, rovegesha, jijomandia, 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 merogogendia, porone megendia. Parone megendia, forugene megendia. Amunu frebe koko chejemeni susubaka. Urege de broni frepe pepe koko jena. Omini granos, sefrenia, gajosta. Araga no branos, sefre branos. Branos, branos, branos. Braga dose, braga dose. Braga dobega dose. Vuma braga dose. Vruma gada bradose, fama na grabadose, fama bragadose, jemene bragadose, samono bragadose, fabengene bragadose, fajejemenia bragadose, parone gedebeni bragadose, yamono gorania suvrama, shebeon. Ask the Lord to help your heart, planting a deep passion for journeying. To move from face to face. The Lord should heal my heart of the ability to settle quickly until I come to the promise of God, which is the promise of life eternal. Ugogojena, frepoko kojena satata. Rekebebebe koko jojumenia susubeda. Rabeno, rabeno, vabosha, 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 vabosha. Vabosha, vabosha, rega de broni fakaka joshta, maraga de brani akakadamata, 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 akakadamanata, emenata, agoneta, ata, eremakata, jishumene katabata, akatabata varunata bata, abata bata bata bata, ivanabata, emayabata, umayabata. Thank you, Lord. Come on, give the Lord thanks. Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. Thank you, Lord God, for blessing us. Indeed, this afternoon, through your servant, your handmaiden, we are grateful. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name. Let's appreciate Mommy. Thank you, sweetheart. Let's have a seat briefly. Yeah, I just have some things that I just feel are like just word of wisdom. You know, I didn't know that she was going to come this way. And this is a different kind of ministration. She normally doesn't minister this way. All right. I picked two things. First of all, I believe God has added to her. You know. Yes. Yes. Pastor Nesimus, you can interpret that. I just felt that it's from that direction that interpretation should come. All right.
Thank you. Provene Hali Gregade Brokoto Fregabana Gana Tessia Brondia Zevenahai. Oh, provene Tessia. Oh, provene Tessia. For even you've proven yourself even over time.
Yes.
Even you've proven
yes.
yourself even over time. Even you've proven yourself even over time. Oh, for you've even done even things in the secret which even I only have been seen.
Yeah.
Even things that I only have seen and I've commended upon. Even I've commended upon.
Yeah.
I've commended upon. Even I who see in the secret is the one who exalts and add and add and add and add. For I've even added to my handmaiden. For what you see is just the beginning, even a beginning. Even the beginning of yet another, even yet the beginning of another, yet another, yet another, yet another. For you have clocked a season and you have come into
wow.
another season.
Amen.
Even you've come into a lifting. Even that desire you've had over time,
yeah.
even consigning my handmaiden Helen. Helen, I've put portions of her on you.
Amen.
I've put portions on her on you.
Amen.
Even that birthday you went for, oh, it was an impartation. Yeah. It was an impartation. For
Amen.
you came back with something. And that is
Amen.
What everyone is seeing. But yet, this is just but the beginning. For yet, I will do great things, said the Lord. And you shall marvel.
Amen. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
But I just also perceive that the Lord wanted to bring us into a consciousness of what is upon us. So it's a little bit, it's prophetic, it's instructive, revelatory, but it's also very seasonally, to make you aware of the season, to jostle many of us. Because oftentimes, one of the greatest warfares we fight in this part is not to be aware of what God is doing in the spirit. All right? And so I think it's very instructive that there is a season that is upon us. You just summarized all the message from January. And you just, you ribbit it in so that we are conscious of what the Lord wants to do. So that was very instructive. Secondly, I saw it as also preparing us for Daddy's coming. You know, God's servant will be coming this weekend on Friday. And I just felt that it's a good way just to, because oftentimes we really don't prepare at times when... You said something about the fact that means of the gospel, they bring blessing. That's also very true. May God heal the soul from the sin of familiarity.
Yay.
Now, before I talk about Daddy's coming, I want to beg all of us, because in the workers' retreat, I know I taught this extensively, dealt with some things. I just want to say it because not everybody was there. There's a lot of environment of dishonor around the body of Christ as I speak. Yes, it's an air. It's at times, it's the environment. When I mean environment, that is the general atmosphere. There's not so much true regard, for the gifts of God. There's no regard. And we are people that should be taught well. Part of those things that we learned early growing up is how to honor gifts and honor graces of God, all right? And I think that some of those things are fast leaving the body. Yes. It's the attitude of, maybe it's what they call Gen Z attitude. I don't know what it is, but it's an attitude that does not call honor sacred things. It's part of the things that somebody will go and use comedy. Do comedy for things of God, they use it for comedy. In those days, you have comedians, but they don't joke with things of God. They can do every other thing. They won't hear things of God. But now it's like a common thing. It's even permitted in some churches. Some churches even bring comedians on the pulpit. A lot of things are happening that makes you so. Number one, there's a general disvaluing of the grace of God, of the gifts of God, of sacred ordinances of the faith. And that eventually plays out in dishonoring of gifts. Because one of the things that God has done, the enemy has done, is also assault the quality of those that represent him.
That's true.
So there's a general environment of dishonor in the church. And honestly, it is an assault from the gates of hell. But you cannot come into blessing if we are like that. All right? People that are, if you dishonor those that labor over you in particular, There's no way God can bless you. I think I talked about that in the workers' meeting. You must place value. It is supposed to help the heart, all right, so that you can connect to the grace of God. I just felt I needed to say that again because the enemy is worrying to cut a generation from their inheritance, all right? And so we have to keep our heart right. What did I say we have to do? We must learn that. It's a skill. And, you know, you have to start learning that by honoring your brethren. Just honoring and, because, you know, mommy talked about serving your brethren. And that's very important. You also learn how to honor, you know, those that labor over you more by honoring your brethren. You know, learning to honor them. And sincerely learn to discern the grace of God. In the lives of people around us. I think we should be looking intently to discern one another more. You know, there's a heart of that wants to discern. Once you're like that, it's easy for you to spot changes of God around people. Yes. Because at times when God visits someone, maybe God visits your brother, God visits your sister, God puts authority on your pastor, He doesn't announce it. He doesn't announce it. So it means that you should have developed a culture of honor. You must be a grave person in the spirit. You must be grave. All right? You must be grave so that you can quickly see what God is doing. It's a disaster for God to be doing something and you don't even know it. Pastor CJ, God does things that people don't know. Jacob said that. He says, so this is the gate of heaven. He said, I did not know it. So there are things God can be doing. Sir, you may not know. It's mercy. All right? Then some of the landmarks in our teaching this morning is the concept of journeying. That is too powerful. That is too powerful. Of course, you know, we have said it, but now I understand that, you know. I won't say I'm an old Christian, but I won't say I'm a young Christian also in terms of, you know, and I know what it means for you not to settle. It's easy to settle. It's easy to just, you're just okay. For you not to settle, you must be very sincere and humble. Hey. What do I mean by that? Myself and wife were still talking some days ago while fellowshipping. And I said that sincerity is what lets you know that when you hear something, you know that thing is beyond your realm. You have to be sincere that I don't know this one. Instead of criticizing it. You know, let me tell you, most people that criticize things, I'm not talking about, they criticize what they don't know. Really. You'll just be shocked that you never really took time. And that's why it's not good to have the heart of criticizing something first. Sure, you understand? Particularly if it's a light sent to you. You must receive it and check if it is so. Well, somebody was telling me, okay, one of my daughters was telling me yesterday that somebody that got her born again, you know, into this path and all that, got her born again actually, and then introduced her into this stream as disconnected, and it's not like discouraging the person, discouraging her. I said, don't argue with such people. I said, the challenge she's having is that she's not sincere. It's a sincerity problem, or she's just satisfied. I said, there's nothing you can tell that person anymore. She's now wondering that why? What's wrong with the person? I said, at times, sincerity. When you're not sincere, at times people don't want to pay the price to learn again. Yeah. You don't want to pay the price to begin to learn. You check that same scripture that you have known, that you're a master of it. All right? I'm telling you some of the things that there are many times I've got into scripture and have got to redefine an upgraded version of what I knew before. It's not an easy thing. Particularly for preachers. Preachers just like to master a realm and stay there. And that's okay. But what mommy is teaching us today is that if you want to come into the promise of God, which is not the promise of ministry, for every level in God, there's a blessing. And you will carry that blessing. You can even be a witness of that blessing. But the point is, have you come into all that God has promised you as a believer? That is fearful. So it was remember, see, that was teaching us last year, Image and Glory Conference, that the Laodicean church, I never saw it that way before. But that just opened me into another thought, into another world of meditation. It says they were the closest to the throne.
I never saw it that way. I thought about it severally, but I never saw that they were the closest. I felt Philadelphian Church was the closest, all right, because of the concept of the open door. I never saw Laodicean Church that way, but that just said, well, this is a strong possibility in the spirit. So the rebuke that came to the Laodicean Church came from the throne.
Yes, sir.
So it is the rebuke of the only true God.
Yes,
all right? It is the rebuke of the only, because God, you know, we know, we have taught you that God has many, God has faces. So this is the face of the only true God.
Yes, sir.
All right? Or the eternal God.
Yes, sir.
Looking at them. So talking to them that you guys, you have not come into, they have not caught up to the throne. Another thing that blessed me, of course, that she said, you know, was the fact that, you know, they needed to come into the supper.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, of course, we know that the bride that comes to, that is invited to the supper, is already incorruptible.
Yes, sir.
It's already an incorruptible bride, Pastor. Am I right? Let's check Revelation 7. So let us be glad and rejoice. Give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. So this Lamb is the eternal Lamb.
Yes, sir.
Right? This is the Lamb on the throne.
Yes.
So he wants to marry a bride.
Yes,
so, but what qualifies you for the, you know, we don't, I can't go back to 2 years ago now, but maybe I just, you know, we talked about the journey, the procession, all right? So what qualifies you for this marriage supper of the Lamb is that, is what we are going to read. It says the wife has made herself ready. So you must be ready for the supper.
Yeah.
All right? Now, if you are ready for the supper, it means you have the apparatus of readiness. All right? What did I say you have? The garments. So he says she has been granted and unto her, okay, this, that she should be what? And to her was granted that she should be what? Arrayed. In what?
Fine
linen. And what? Clean and white. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So she had on, you know, no time to break all this. But these are all garments of incorruptible life.
Yes,
they are garments, they are garments of incorruptible life. 30-fold, 60, and 100. All right? So for the fine linen is the what? Righteousness of the saints. See Psalm 132. All right? When it says... okay, you should know that scripture. That it please be quoted. Psalm 132. I don't know the particular verse. So, thank you. It says, let thy praise be what? Clothed with what? Righteousness. And thy saints shout for joy. Now, take me. Yes, thank you. Let thy praise. No, take me to the place where he talked about salvation. All right? I will clothe our priest with what?
Salvation.
And our saints shall shout aloud for joy. Take me back to that other verse. I will clothe thy priest with righteousness, and the saints shall sound aloud for joy. So what is righteousness? Come on, that is the point. What is righteousness? So the fine linen, clean, comma, clean and white, is the apparatus of incorruptible salvation. It's salvation. It's salvation of the soul that can be described as incorruptible life. So that is what, that is Revelation 14. So Revelation 14 is a garment,
yes,
clean white, and which is the garment of salvation.
Yeah.
All right? So now I now understand that when you have that, you will be invited to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. So it's possible to not go to that feast.
Yeah.
That's what I'm just saying. Because everything is a choice. Invitation. If they give you invitation, sir. I'm just afraid that how can somebody be clothed. You need another meekness. That's the point. You already have this garment. It qualifies you for that supper. All right? And you are given invitation to come. Now, what I know is that you can reject any invitation. There's still a choice. Wow, this is very fearful. No wonder. Now, we can see this displayed in the life of Jesus Christ. We see Jesus Christ subject himself to increasing meekness. Why was Jesus saying at Gethsemane, not my will? You don't understand? It means that he still had ability to do his will. That's for him to even have a son that has entered Gethsemane. It's not an ordinary son. That he entered Gethsemane for the purpose of dying on the cross. In Matthew 16, he has said, "I will die on the cross." That's when Peter was rebuking him. So he knew he was going to die on the cross. And he just knew he has obeyed the commandment to enter into the place where he will be praying his last season of prayer to communicate in the cross. And he says, "Not my will be." So you can still do your will. Even at that point. Even at almost finishing. That's very fearful. So I can relate with what you are saying. I can relate with it. So you can turn back, sir. You can say, I don't think I want to die on the cross. So that's a higher level of meekness. So the bride now needs to go to the supper, marriage supper of the Lamb. So what you do in that supper is an eternal feast. So it is another understanding. It's a visitation of another understanding. It means you have to humble yourself to learn. Again. Someone said, "Why are you always saying all these things?" It's a classical. Serious classic. Alright? So, now let's just read verse 9. I think, is it verse 9? Yes. And he said to me, "Blessed are they that are called." Blessed are they that are called unto the marriage, what? Supper of the eternal Lamb. Because the Lamb is both everlasting and eternal. Alright? The one that John saw was not the eternal Lamb. But it says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." That's an everlasting Lamb. Alright? He's the one that takes away the sin of the world. In fact, he's the one that died on the cross. But when he died on the cross, he resurrected into his glory. All right? And sat on the right hand. So this is a reigning lamb. So the reigning lamb is the one that is calling them to the feast. Now, this is the idea. The bride has made herself ready, but she needs an understanding to reign. Because the lamb is already reigning. And so the grooming of the lamb does not end with the bride having a fine linen, clean and white. There's a last season of grooming. You know, I like your bridegroom. That's the idea. Bridegroom is groomer of the bride. So, he says, "Blessed are they that are called to my soul." And he said to me, "These sayings are what? These are the true sayings of God." Now, take me to that. It's a Laodicean church. So it's a supper. It's a calling to a supper. It's a feast. So somebody may not want this feast. I just wonder why did the Laodicean church, what happened? I'm going to go and wait on it. Because this is like, is a topic for research. What can happen to you that you not want to come to such a feast? Take me to the place where he says, "To him that overcometh." Let me just start rounding my thoughts up here. It says, "To him that overcometh," look at that. "Will I grant to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit in my throne, even as I what? Overcame and sat and sat down with my father in his throne." No, take me to, said, "Behold, I knock at the door. Behold, I stand at the door, comma, and what? Knock. If any man hear what? My voice. So this is the voice of that feast. All right? And open the door. I will come in and we want sup with him and he with me. So this is the last supper. So it was for the Laodicean church. It was a calling to the marriage supper of the Lamb. It was a calling to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I just saw that, you know, this year we began with the issue of the keeping the feast of the Lamb. So it just opened me to an understanding that God wants us to understand it very well. All right? These things are not so far from us. All right? And we should just... So one advice I'll give all of us, please, I beg you, don't continue with us in our journey. Make sure that we are part of the journey. Keep journeying. Keep feasting with us. Not those landmarks when the Lord speaks. Mommy was teaching us about trumpets. You see, when the Lord blows trumpets, those trumpets actually are understandings. They are messages. Trumpets are messages. And they are supposed to make us journey. All right? Christian faith has changed. It's no longer Bible study. You can't do Bible study and journey to the throne. It's trumpets that will take you there. All right? So now, if you hear the trumpet, you said two things. You said you have to hear and respond. So it's blessed to hear, but it's much more blessed to respond. To respond is to do. James 1:25. Is to do, meaning you are doing the commandments that you are hearing. So I can hear and not do. But when I do the commandments, I am already making progress. God wants us to make progress and mark landmarks of our journey. Finally, you see, the only way you will enter the promised land using the wilderness as a type is for you to journey.
Yes, sir.
And the journey is not individualistic.
Yes, sir.
This is what I'm saying. You can't journey yourself. All right? Journey is within the corporate context.
Yeah.
Is an individual journey measured by corporate advance. That is it. I mean, because the Bible shows us patterns. So, nobody can leave Egypt by himself. Please, I want you to follow me very well. I want to end my thoughts. You cannot leave Egypt by yourself and cross the Red Sea by yourself. And journey through the wilderness by yourself. Because, you know, in formal spaces, people don't talk about journey. They just, it's just, I get born again, I'm blessed, I go to heaven. Now, this is a different order. We are journeying to receive the promise of God. So, sir, that journey from day one is a summon. The whole process of leaving Egypt. The whole process of entering into the wilderness. So all that thing, it will take assemblies on a journey to God. So what God first does is to create the context. I'm telling you. The context is to raise churches that can journey. If that facility is not available, you can even be willing, but you will not be able to able to do that journey. You just have the willingness. God will have to raise a generation of those. We'll have to raise a corporate member that can create that facility for journey. So all those churches in the book of Revelation, they were churches. It's just a fearful thing that we need to now pay the attention to what the Lord is saying to us. So that is what he says, that hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Who are those churches? Churches that are journeying. Churches that are hearing the trumpet. We need to hear what the Spirit is saying. The Lord will grant us understanding. Amen. This year, we will make progress.
Amen.
That your amen is standing on one leg.
Amen.
I said this year, we will make progress.
We
will come into things that God has promised us.
Amen.
You know, all the different landmarks. For some people, they will lay hold on the name of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
For some people, they will lay hold on the name of Christ.
Amen.
For some people, they will touch the Father.
Amen.
The Lord will come to us at our different places.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
We hope you have been blessed through these words of life. You can get more messages on our website, www.thecitygatechurch.org. Stay blessed.